Indie Prime, yes, Indie Prime, on Indie Live Radio. Indie Prime, yes, Indie Prime, on Indie Live Radio. Continuing my introduction to the Grassroots Movement podcast, I'd like to welcome Pat Lee.
Thank you, Ray. It's a pleasure to be here.
First of all, Pat, some background information. Tell us about maybe what you do for a living and how you got involved initially in the Grassroots Movement.
What do I do for a living? I'm a support worker, Ray. I support people with varying disabilities to live in their own homes and access the community. I get much enjoyment out of that. You're actually assisting a fellow human being.
Yeah, you're on the front line.
Yeah, to enjoy as normal a life as possible. Uh-huh. So it's very rewarding, can be very challenging, but I thoroughly enjoy it.
Yep.
As for how did I get into the Grassroots Movement, well, that's a story and a half. Back in 1977... we had the campaign for the Yes, Yes vote, and my best friend's mother was the secretary of Wishon Motherwell Labour Party, and she roped us both into promoting the Yes, Yes vote. We were at the tender age of 13, 14, politicised for a Scottish Assembly. We campaigned along with everybody else. And we won the vote, 51%. So at 14-year-old, I was over the moon. I'd actually been successful at or participating in that success. And then we didn't have an assembly. We weren't allowed an assembly. And I wondered, how is that possible? Democracy is 50% plus one. We'd actually 51%. And then I found out that it was the Labour Party had skewed that referendum itself by introducing the 40% rule. And that was like a dagger in the heart.
This is where the dead were able to vote.
Yes, the dead were able to vote, and they'll use it again. We won the vote, and in a democracy, in the eyes of a 14, 15-year-old, be 16 by 79, it should have come to fruition. So that took me out of politics completely.
So what sense of injustice did you feel?
Cheated. Absolutely cheated. After winning the vote and not receiving the reward of that campaign, I was absolutely disillusioned, disenfranchised from politics of any sort, up until around 1994, when my local councillor, I'll give him a mention, Davy Shearer, a good friend of mine and a good colleague for a number of years, came round on a membership drive for the SNP. During the time from 79 to, it would be 81 when I could vote, I did support the SNP with my vote. But it was David Chapman on my door asking for memberships in the village that I became an activist. And as you'll know, when I put my mind to something, I'm in there wholeheartedly. In there wholeheartedly, and I enjoy it.
A dog with a bone.
A dog with a bone. There's a cause to fight for. It won't be one sitting on our arse. So got involved with the SNP local at Kirloch. Eventually we had enough members in Law Village to open up our own branch, maintaining the activism. I remember the first time I went with the group down to the borders, just over the Lead Hills. I thoroughly enjoyed the interaction with door chapping, although we were getting both ends of the spectrum for support and hatred, because we were either, and excuse my language here, folks, but we were either Fenian bees or we were orange bees. And that just emphasises the structure of the UK's argument, divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. So one half of the country supports independence, the other half of the country, and I think diminishingly so, supports the Union through 300 years of indoctrination.
Yeah. Now it's become a case of more disillusioned.
Yes.
And that's what we're after, is those who have been disillusioned by the status quo are now looking at, seriously at the changes.
Definitely, definitely. I think, personally, I think we won the referendum, and I've gave many statements on how I can prove that actually took place. That might be a subject for another day. But we had more than 50%, and they knew it. Was it a week or two before the referendum? We had the influx of our masters from Westminster.
The Imperial March.
The Imperial March from Central Station up to Buchanan Street. Let's bow down to your Imperial masters was Mark Liggett in the rickshaw.
Yeah.
Rickshaw. It was fantastic to see, and you could see the embarrassment that the Labour Party in particular in Scotland had to send the numbers up, because the Labour Party in Scotland were the voice of the Union. We all know the statements of Gordon Brown and his manipulation of fact and fiction.
Even to this day, he's saying
stuff. Even to this day, he'll be rolled out on special occasions, and they will use any means possible, but I think the Labour Party are past that. They may be able to make statement, but it's not believed. It's not believed. And the movement has grown to the extent that we can command 10,000 people in Dumfries and 7,000 or 8,000 in Gala Shields, 190,000 in Edinburgh, and 150,000 in Glasgow. That's just fantastic.
Yeah. There's actually a recent camera use of frame-by-frame count counted those at Glasgow that went underneath the bridge at Charing Cross was 210,000.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. We, believe it or not, have been conservative with a small c in our estimations of the numbers. Not as conservative as a farce for good, where they had the audacity to claim that the Yes March, the All Under One Banner March, was actually going round in a loop. A loop. Unbelievable. But that's politics, as it were.
Yeah.
Distort the truth.
It was almost the case at Gala Shields, but we had to wait for the end of the queue to go by before we carried on past them again.
Very true, very true.
Which
very
I thought true. Was very funny.
But as the atmosphere at these rallies.
Oh, it's good fun.
They're absolutely amazing.
Well, now when I pass Force for Good, I've put on the Imperial March on the Indy Pram, I blast it out as we go by. We did that at Oob and that went down a storm.
Yeah.
Couldn't make because my wife and I were away in Ruby wedding anniversary holiday. But
No, Air was brilliant. That was one of the opportunities I took for broadcasting for Independence Live.
Right.
I was along with Fiona, and I had a great day. So much so that my forehead was bumped with the sun. And I suffered, folks. I suffered for the whole week. Yeah. I thought I had a cardboard forehead.
Yeah.
But,
well, we were sitting at the Borgia Park in Rome watching it. so thank you.
Oh no, it was a great experience.
Yeah.
And the broadcasting, was the only broadcaster that managed to hold the signal all day.
Good.
So, and I thought, let's use the broadcast to go to the stalls and speak to the people and get them involved, and have them participate in Independence Live, and at the same time we're promoting our own media,
yeah,
which we I can't emphasize this too much because we're up against, obviously, the biased BBC.
Yeah.
The broadcaster of the state.
Yeah. Well, it's the same as this station, Independence Live, Indie Live Radio. What we're looking, obviously, is to build up the content so that we've got a fuller programme during the day. At the moment, when there's all these gaps, it's just music getting played. So if we could get shows being produced either live into the studio or recorded, more podcasters from around Scotland, more people having the local say of what's happening in their area, more information, more encouragement, more discussion over rebuttal of information that's coming from the mainstream media. If we can fill our week up completely, then we might actually get companies, commercial-wise, sponsoring programmes, putting adverts on, and offset the cost, because obviously we need to fund. And crowdfunding is very difficult, but we need the more contribution that we can get program-wise, content-wise, and the more listeners. So we need to encourage people throughout the whole of Scotland to tune in, have Indie Live Radio on their in their favourites, and download the free app that the Hub provided. The Hub in Inverness wrote the software for the app. The more people have this on their phones and listen in, maybe when they're at work or driving around, the better.
And that in itself is opening up the medium to your friends and your family. Because if you're listening to it in your car and you've got a full car, they're engaging with our medium.
Yeah.
Because we have to have, it's so important that we have an alternative to the propaganda machine that is the BBC.
Yep.
Because we don't have that airtime. We never have. So we need to create that ourselves.
Yeah. Because we could have, on the hour, instead of a wee recorded news bulletin, we could actually have a news programme for about 10 or 15 minutes on the hour or every 2 hours, and discussing things, in looking at it from a Scottish perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even world news.
Yep.
And then get back to the rebuttal side and the information which is correct.
Yeah.
That informs people.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Any means possible. Any means possible. We have to create our own medium. And we're in the process of doing that with yourselves. Indie Live Radio. What's the address? Well, Indie Live Radio or Indie Live dot Radio.
Yeah.
Indie Live dot Radio. Independence Live dot
net.
Net. We've got Broadcasting Scotland.
Yep.
Broadcasting Scotland, a very professional outfit.
Yep.
But again, needing the support of the independence movement.
Yeah.
There are so many crowd funders out there, it limits our ability to raise funds.
Well, like Independence Life, they're looking for content as well and contributions, not insofar as financial, but as well as financial, but program content as well.
So definitely.
They all need support. It's great that Gordon Ross, IndyCar Gordon Ross, is getting such a massive viewing for his programmes. I know there's been some interesting things on Facebook as concerned, as far as his numbers are now showing well over around about 250,000 watching each programme, which is excellent.
But I'm also involved with the People's Doorstep Referendum. This was a concept whereby we, the grassroots, could physically prove the absolute majority for independence.
Yeah.
Because we had the Scottish Covenant back in 1951, whereby a campaign was created and signature collections took place, whereby 2.3 million supporters of Scottish independence signed a covenant, and to the present day, that's been denied that that ever took place. So the People's Doorstep Referendum was an on-site, an online website whereby you could commit to Scottish independence, a declaration, and you signed it digitally, where we would then have either a hard copy or a digital copy, and eventually we would hit 2.5. It would take one member of the Yes movement to collect 10 signatures.
Yep.
transfer that through the website and holding the hard copy. If 250,000 members actually got 9 signatures each, we would prove the absolute majority for independence. So it's the same concept as the Scottish Covenant. There is a Scottish Covenant presently in operation, but it needs the Yes Movement to engage. We've got all these different factions trying to collect signatures and collect commitments to Scottish independence, because we know we have the majority. We just have to prove it. And these are mechanisms that we could use, but it needs a coordinated effort, and it needs the actual participation of the Yes Movement, of those indie supporters who may join All Under One Banner, who may join Forward as One, but they don't join everything. There's a mechanism that we can use to establish the fact that there is an absolute majority, because we cannot trust the British state not to interfere in any way they can. So why don't we do it ourselves?
Yeah. Well, talking about participation, what else have you been involved with as far as the move towards independence? How have you been active?
Active.
Going from the start.
Activity for the start.
I've seen you in so many different circles that you are very active. You're a well-kent face. So,
well, I just do as others do, maybe to a greater extent. I get involved in every group that I can. Where I sort of built a profile was the BBC bias protests. That came about when my wife and myself attended the second event that Jordan MacArthur and Moira Williams, who created the BBC Bias, the People's Peaceful Protest outside the BBC, they began getting some serious flack and some serious threats from individuals. Now, movements are such that you've got people who want to get involved, and then they want to take issue with one or the other, egos come into it, and bandwagon jumpers. And I was really annoyed because Moira's daughter had actually been threatened sort of in the street, and they were trying to shut Moira down, whether that was the state or whether that was just factions within the movement who were jealous of what was taking place, because Moira had been asked to organise a third event. The first event was maybe a couple of hundred. The second event was upwards of 500 to 1,000. And we wanted to show there was support and shown our displeasure to the BBC. So when I heard Moira was receiving this flack and threats, I thought, I'm gonna back this lass. So I contacted her and I says, listen, you're talking, she was thinking of cancelling the third event. And I thought, well, I've got a PA system. I'll manage to get a generator somewhere. Says, we're going ahead with it. And we went ahead with it. And we had the BBC telling us that there was only 50 people in attendance, or in the second one, there was only 100, there was 500 to 1,000. So one of the attendees actually printed off 1,000 numbers, 1 to 1,000. And we didn't have enough to go around. So that brought me into direct activity within the movement, and I sort of built up a bit of a profile, and I made contacts with the likes of Tommy Sheridan. Tommy was asked to speak at these events, and without doubt and with no encouragement, appeared, attended and orated to the masses that were there. And I made a connection with Tommy, and at that time I was an elected SNP councillor, and my political situation has always been to the left of any party, to the left of any party. And the longer and the more I worked with Tommy on the BBC bias protests, the more I became in the knowledge that my political home was somewhere else. So it was prior to the referendum, I attended Tommy had done the Hope Over Fear tour, where he spoke to over 120,000 or more people in over 110 venues throughout the country during the campaign for Scottish independence. And I attended one down at Pather in Wishaw. And my wife and myself came down, and my wife stays in the background. She doesn't like to get involved, shall we say. She's supported me absolutely amazingly. What that woman's put up with, she deserves a medal. But I was down the front interacting with the meeting, and we had a sort of comfort break. And I met my wife outside, and she says to me, you know, I know what you're going to say next, or what Tommy's going to say next. I said, how do you know that? She says, because you say it every day in the house. So I expressed my political views and my political wish openly in the house, and I thought, there's my political home. That's where I should be. And the rest is history. I joined SNP after 2016? It would be prior to the Scottish parliamentary elections in 2016. We didn't want to rock the boat for the Yes movement by announcing that I was leaving the SNP to go and join Solidarity, because we had this campaign that Solidarity and Tommy especially was promoting, of lending your vote to the SNP in the 2015
the general election.
General election. And whatever small part that played, the result was astonishing. 56 out of 59. And I'm very sure if it wasn't for a bit of gerrymandering, it would have been 59 out of 59. We delivered, or we participated in delivering 56 out of 59, which was absolutely astonishing. And any future general election, we know what we can achieve. We know what we can achieve. And for the sake of independence, and I'll say this to the SNP, if there is a general election, we will stand by your side to ensure that we have at least 56, if not 59. But we will stand on the basis that you will exercise Scotland's right to be a free, independent country by that means. And that will take us into Angus McNeill and Chris McElhenney. Their motion to debate a plan B is just, it's a safety net, because we expect, or the movement expects, Boris Bojo, we expect Bojo to refuse a Section 30. So what other means are we going to use to ensure that Scotland gets its
democratic
right to be heard? Because we know from the claim of right that it's Scotland who will decide what its democratic base is, whether it be independence or whether it be remaining in the UK. It's Scotland, the Scottish people, that will decide that. But the mechanism to decide that is either a referendum, or as Maggie Thatcher says, an election where you send a majority of MPs to Westminster to instigate, not to ask for permission to hold that referendum. Because if it's in your manifesto that should there be a majority not only of SNP MPs, but of pro-independence MPs, then that will be the mechanism for negotiations for an independent Scotland to start.
So, looking at the grassroots movement, which you've been very active in since the start, but since 2014, give me your thoughts on opinions and how the movement has grown.
Well, 2014, we were expected to go back into our box. We were expected to go back into our box, and there was already the Hope Over Fear rally in Glasgow was already planned. The decision was taken by Tommy to hand over the Hope Over Fear livery, as it were, or the Hope Over Fear concept, to a committee of the Yes Movement. It wasn't just Solidarity members. Mm-hmm. There was SNP members there. There was youth there. There was all sections of the independence movement. And the concept was that we would meet at Freedom Square every year until independence took place. And they've stuck to their word. They continue to this day to organise for a Hope Over Fear rally. And on the 12th of October 2014, that was the first time I actually stood and spoke to the gathering. And my call was for us all to come together as a grassroots movement, because we in the grassroots movement know how to create and maintain a grassroots campaign. The political side of it, the politics, the politicians know how to create and maintain a political campaign. So we could complement each other. If the political side meets the grassroots side, we can cover all bases. And my call was at that time was for us to all come under one umbrella. I think somebody took that on board and created the All Under One Banner group, which up till 2018 was doing okay. It was getting numbers out. And in 2018, various sections of the movement were thinking along the same lines, but doing it autonomously. Different groups were trying to organise themselves in the Catalan manner, whereby the grassroots dictate what the higher echelons are going to implement. They organise themselves in local groups, and they meet, and then they create a regional platform, and then that regional platform makes contact with a political platform, so that there's an absolute connection from the grassroots to the political arm. As we see in Catalonia, they can get over 1 million to 2 million out in the streets at the same day because it's planned. Okay, the weather
helps.
May have an additional benefit.
And the equal media.
And the equal media to a point, because they are restricted by the state whenever it wishes. But there's a joined up mechanism, and the hierarchy don't dictate to the grassroots. They sit in agreement and they create a movement that is cohesive, acts as one, and gets the result that they want. Because they did, they achieved that result by declaring independence. And we see what steps the Spanish state will take to deny that.
With the media that we have, it's been amazing to see that people have been coming along, and a lot of people saying this is the first time they've been on a march. And when they find it that they are so enjoyable, family-friendly events, then these people have been the ambassadors to even more people coming along. And I don't know what Edinburgh is going to be like in October, but I think it is going to be absolutely ginormous.
Yeah, it has the potential, as long as we maintain the momentum. And this is where I think the All Under One banner have won a watch. They are taking it to places that never get reached. That was always my ambition for Hope Over Fear, because I'm the former co-chair, former chair of Hope Over Fear. Why can't we take it to Gala Shields, Dumfries? That's amazing. These places, and I would say, normally feel left out. So All Under One banner are doing a service to the Yes Movement, as Hope Over Fear does a service to the Yes Movement, to promote and show the support that is out there. And once we connect with Gala Shields and Dumfries and Cameltown and Oban and Aberdeen and the Highlands, once we connect with them, they join in and they become part of the visible movement.
Exactly, because I can see this up in Stornoway and mm-hmm. in the Outer Hebrides. Basically, I thought it was a great opportunity, not having been there before, when they organised the Stornoway March. And we went up, and even though the feedback was that there wasn't that many locals who attended, they got the word afterwards, the feedback afterwards, mm-hmm. is that there would be a lot more interest by locals wanting to show their colours and appreciated the amount of support that was given.
It is never about numbers. It's about visibility.
That's right.
Because every event that is created only attracts so many numbers. Like say the reignition of the BBC Bias People's Protest. Very small numbers last weekend. But it's got to start somewhere. You must start it somewhere. And by taking it to Cameltown, and the numbers are expected to be good in Cameltown, but where was it previously? It was Stornoway. Stornoway managed to get a few thousand.
Yep.
Was it up to 5,000? I wasn't able to be there.
It wasn't as many as that, but I think it was...
But remember that we're conservative, we're estimations.
Yep.
A couple of thousand even, in a place like Stornoway.
Was that excellent?
You're connecting with the locals. The locals are seeing that there is support. And they're not left out on their own. They can join groups like Hope Over Fear or All Under One Banner or Yestival, or they can get involved in the campaign. And they know they have the backup resources of these groups. So they can create... The idea is to contact, make contact, and allow them to flourish and grow and create their own events. That way you could organise, as the Catalonians have done, events throughout the country at the same time. And that was one of the messages I tried to get across at the Hope Over Fear rallies, that we can assist. We can use the experience of those who organise these events to back you up so that you can use your own event, and that way we can organise ourselves to be present around the country at the same day.
Yeah, because at the current time, though there's no campaign actually started, and this is probably an ideal time for it to be organised, there is no organisation that has actually brought all the various aspects of the S group together in Scotland.
Yeah.
It's still fractionalised.
Yes.
And we don't want to run around like headless chickens when it does get called for a campaign and a referendum date.
Well, that was the idea. That was the idea that myself and others had in 2018 when we created the March and Rallies for 2018. We were disjointed, we were fractionalised, and I held a meeting along with Neil Mackay of All Under One Bar in Glasgow in February, and the idea was to bring all the groups together.
Mm-hmm. Do you not think this is something that the Scottish Independence
Convention
should be more proactive?
If they're not exclusive,
mm-hmm.
they have to be absolutely inclusive. Mm-hmm. We have the numbers in All Under One Banner. We have the experience of Hope Over Fear. And we're not marrying those two things together. That was the idea in 2018, in February 2018. And the result was we got 150 to 190,000 out in Edinburgh on the 6th of October.
Yep.
That was the goal. The goal was to maximise the number of people in attendance at these events. We were asked by the SNP, a government party, to put feet on the ground. We've delivered that. Now's the time for the SNP to deliver the referendum.
Yeah.
And if not the referendum, then the election that will instigate negotiations for Scottish independence.
Yeah. Any other points that you'd like to raise at all?
No, I think we've had a good chat here.
We've covered a fair bit of ground.
Aye.
Well, Pat, thanks very much indeed for a introduction to yourself and also what your activities have been. And let's look forward to us reaching our goal in the near future.
Yes, and if we simply take the opportunity to come together, meet together, and work together, we can do this.
Excellent. Pat Lee, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Ray. Indie Prime, yes, Indie Prime, on Indie Live Radio. Indie Prime, yes, Indie Prime.